morning is going to be conserving your soul in the face of disappointment. That's going to be my particular emphasis. I'm going to be sharing from Luke 24, verse 18 to the end. To just give us a background, I want you to know that in times that we are in, what's the most important thing is your soul.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. To feed your inner man, your inner person, with the right stuff. Friends, we live in a time when there's a lot of information, and people seek to understand and feed themselves with other things. But I want to say to yourself, how can we conserve our souls for any event, any incident, any happening in the life of a believer is targeting the soul? This is why David says, why so downcast, oh my soul? This is why David says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. This is why David says, put your hope in God, oh my soul. Whatever happens in the life of a believer, it's about the soul. I'm not with you. So, John 16:33. Jesus said to the disciples, I've told you these things so that you may have peace in this world. You will have trouble. But the things that I've told you are meant to give you peace. But we find peace in the things that he has spoken. Because this is a world of trouble. In this world, we'll have trouble. This is why we are in the period of mourning, Bishop Dambasa, because it's a trouble that has come our way. But take heart, I've overcome the world. My desire is that at the end of this teaching, we'll all find ourselves at the feet of He who has overcome the world. In this world we have challenges, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We understand and we believe that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and the word of God says, for we live by faith, not by sight. Let me present to you that faith is tested not when things are good, but when things are tough.
Yeah.
And one singer says, up on the mountain, down in the valley, I'll sing a song of praise.
Yeah.
Life is easy when you are up on the mountain.
Mm.
What happens when you're in the valley? When of course says, live by faith, not by sight. This is the time when our faith is tested. And may God help us to understand that God is faithful. Remember, friends, holding on to hope when everything is done is the greatest test of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you can hold on to hope when everything is done, that's the test of faith. So the story that we have this morning is a story of people that were fasting at that time. Jesus has just died, declared, and is risen. These two disciples of Jesus are walking. And I want you to make some considerations with me this morning. Consideration number one. Consider their direction. The word of God says, now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. These people, their direction, they were moving away from Jerusalem to another village. Jesus, he had said, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the power. But because of their difficult situation, the death of Jesus Christ and their inability to process it, and their challenging ways of processing it, they were going in the opposite direction. The opposite of where they had to be. I won't be surprised this morning if someone is going in a different direction. Away from what God had promised. Away from where God has said, stay right here. This is where the song Garepano, Garepano, Shemano, came from. Now I'm challenging you. Garepano, Garepano, Shemano. May you not change direction like those people. Because when things are shattered, we take a walk. We walk away from that place that reminds us of our shattered dreams. That place that becomes a trigger of our hopes that we shattered. And we take a walk. Because as long as we stay, we are reminded of our failure, we are reminded of our disappointment, we are reminded of our unfulfilled expectations. So sometimes people feel it's good to walk. It's good to walk. Are you staying where you need to stay? Number two consideration. Consider their discussion. The Bible says they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. In 2413 was their direction. 2414, they are now discussing. Not only were they in the wrong direction, but they were engaged in some discussion. I know from 2 weeks ago, 13 days ago today, the people that have been involved in discussion. Some have been even going to the Google to find information to discuss. Number three, consider their despondence. They were despondent. Jesus joined them and he said to them, what are you talking about? They stood still, their faces doubted. Not only were they going in the wrong direction, not only were they discussing, but they were despondent. Which we are today. Which is natural. For when people ask us, cast our faces down. Because that which is happening among us is not the best. When you go back to their discussion, the more they talk, the more they endorsed what they believed. Remember, they're discussing in a state of despondence. Abel, be yourself. Let's go to the way of God.
Right.
May we find God, may He be the answer. Because the more you stay in a state of discussion when something has happened, things emphasized have got a tendency to okay. And things reinforced have a tendency to shape our thinking. To say what is this? sometimes events of life do not make sense.
Right.
May I just remind you that sometimes even God does not make sense. Some of you are doubting me. David impregnated Bathsheba and the son died. And David impregnated Bathsheba and the son became an heir of the throne. But something doesn't make sense. So it's not for us to make sense of God, because it's not an academic subject. He's a person to relate with, not a subject to be discussed, not a topic to be researched. The challenge that we have because of this information age is when we face situation, we want to go ahead and research. Your research is right here. This is where you research. We are all asking one. Consider their doubts. Verse 21. But we have hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem his. On account of the death of Jesus Christ, these people were beginning to doubt the redemption of Israel. I'm not going to do this. The event of the death of Jesus Christ and the anticipation of the redemption of Israel. Now they are doubting whether there is going to be any redemption of Israel because Jesus is dead. An event has caused them to cast doubt on their future. I'm not kidding. As much as it is painful, you can never allow a painful event to cast a doubt on your future. Because your future is not in the event, it's not in the experience. Your future is in God. Our future is in God. We have hoped. They were doubting so much that the promises of God had been eclipsed by their experience. May that which God has promised you not be eclipsed at the death of Bishop Damas. Somebody, are you hearing me? May that which God has spoken to you be not eclipsed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were doubting. Watch this, watch this. They came and told us that they had seen the vision of angels. Who said he was alive? There were ladies that had reported that Jesus was alive, but their doubt was so bad that they could not believe even those people who had first had information. Deep down. Deep down. There's two men that were walking. They doubted the word of God. They refuse the truth because of their experience. It was the fact that Jesus had resurrected. But because of what they had gone through, they refused. Friends, there is truth, God's truth, and our truth. In times like this, we need God's truth to be our anchor.
Amen.
It's painful. I understand. It's difficult. I understand. You know, last night I sat in that room there in the office and I saw the chair that he Bishop Thomas was in. I was just overwhelmed. You know, they always said to me, Bishop, so why didn't you change the place? I said, you know what? I have this thing. I don't like to sit in the sound of God all the time. And that thought came to me. I said, this is why I don't want to sit in the sound of God. Because when my spot is empty, it reminds people of certain things. We doubt. What do you mean? After a previous trust, they were not doubting. After having been able to trust God, they were not doubting. Is this God? And this scenario that I'm falling church, they will be. Consider their disappointment and wait somewhere. Please follow me. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. They are so disappointed. Time has passed. Jesus is dead. They are walking away, disappointed, too let down. You know, let me tell you something. The greater the relationship, the greater the disappointment. Amen. The greater the expectation, the greater the disappointment. Let me tell you something. When you relate to people, be very careful, like what I said earlier on about the office and the officer compared to the Christian and the Christ. Very important. So, on the stage, Bishop Demas, we are disappointed. We are disappointed. How can he? How could you? Why not? Why would they? In case you think these people were very shallow, consider their depth. The Bible says about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed. They were so deep in their knowledge of Christ. So, all these things here that we talked about, the despondency, the disappointment, they are not meant that they were fretful, weakings. They were deep Christians who understood that Jesus was a prophet who was powerful in word and in deed. Understanding that he's powerful in word and in deed when he died, even though he had said in word that I will resurrect, in word he had said I will resurrect, and the resurrection was going to be in deed. So they believed that Jesus was powerful in word and in deed, but when he died, they forgot that he's powerful in word and in deed. Now they are preaching that he's powerful in word and in deed, but their actions are not going together with their beliefs.
Okay.
They are walking away from a place. This Jesus who said, I will resurrect again, is dead. They have been told that he's risen, but they are walking away. You know, when we say we walk by faith and not by sight, there are times in the valley where our faith and our walk must meet. Then he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Most of the most powerful psalms of death were written when he was in the Bible. Go to Psalm 13, which he wrote when he was in the camp, when he was hiding, and when Saul came and took him from the place. And in that camp, he wrote a psalm of praise. Because his experience did not define God. Our God is not defined by our experience. In a materialistic worldview, we define God by the tangible and by the material. So when the tangible and the material is not equal to our expectation, we think God is not in the picture. That's why even when you have church and nothing happens, there's no rolling and everything, we think God was not around. Because we are so used to seeing and experiencing. These people were deep. But why did we not let them take them to Jesus? Okay, they knew him well. In this big situation that I painted, I want you to see something powerful. And this is where we're going. In this big situation, when they thought their hope was lost, when they were walking away from Jerusalem, when they are walking away thinking, oh, because of what happened among us, our hope is lost. Watch what happened in Luke 24. Number one, Jesus walked with them. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Friends, let me tell you, it doesn't matter
what you go through, Jesus himself will be with you. For he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you to the end of the world. Jesus himself will be with you.
Amen.
Thank God for bishops that can come and encourage you. Thank God for other churches that can come and pray with you. But let me tell you now, at an individual level, you want Jesus himself. Thank God for Dr. Google, who you can cast about depression and suicide. But in this moment, you don't need those things. Jesus himself is wanting you. May he come into your situation. May he come into your living room. May he come into your heart and walk with you. Jesus himself. For that's the nature of God. He is closest to the brokenhearted. When we feel that we are down and out, it's never like that. This is why Paul says, I'm down, but not destroyed. Why? Because it doesn't matter what he goes through. My mom was talking about the storm. In Acts 28, when no sun appeared, when no rain appeared, the Bible said, Jesus appeared to Paul and said, cheer, be of good cheer. Acts 23:11, for you shall stand in the wrong and give account of me. Jesus himself. Lord Jesus, it's you who win it.
Hallelujah.
It's you who win it. May you come yourself. Watch this, watch this. He did not just come. Jesus talked to them. Verse 17. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I don't normally need this, but today I'm reading it. I don't know why. He asked, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Let me tell you, Jesus is never silent. The 21st century feels Jesus is silent because we talk too much. When things happen, we talk too much. We defer, open up, boo boo, whatever else. What are you discussing together as you walk alone? Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus speaks. May he not just walk with you, but may he speak to you. And my prayer this morning is the word that I'm speaking is not coming from my mind, but it's coming from the heart of God, because his word comes from the heart of God that is able to give you strength. Amen. For Paul says, I walk with you to God. And in the word of his power, which is able to make you strong. Amen. May Jesus speak to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before you go to people and say, what is God saying? Well, you have to go to God and say, what are you saying? When the baby was praying this morning before they went to Sunday school, I just got something happening in my spirit. The baby just went, our Father. Let me tell you something. This is one of the most significant statements that we have thrown out of the Bible. Our Father. It doesn't matter. I may be your spiritual father. You may want to call me Father. People are concentrating on people today. But let me tell you, there is a Father in heaven. And when we approach him, we call him our Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is a Father.
Amen.
So this baby reminded us our Father in heaven. Jesus talked to them. They were talking about Jesus. They were sharing about Jesus. He was there. Sometimes we talk about our disappointments and we forget that he's right there with us. Hallelujah. He is a part of our conversation. You are never, there is never a time that a child of God is alone. There is never a time that God is present, is absent. Watch this, watch this. In this instance here, in that half hour, he came in person. Because remember, he's resurrected. I don't want to destroy him with theology. And, but because he's still physical, he can be physically present. But today, because it's spiritual, it's not material, it's spiritually present.
Yeah.
The state of the spirit. world is our overemphasis on tangible things. So when the Spirit is present, we don't experience. But I'm saying we are never alone. Remember, our views of God should not be shaped by our situation. Hallelujah. Never allow a situation to shape your view of God. Never allow your experience to shape your view of God. God is God regardless of what I go through. This is why the three Hebrew boys said, even if he doesn't take me from the fire, I'll still worship him. Because delivering me from the fire does not mean that he doesn't have to prove that he's God by delivering me from the fire. He's already God before I was put in the fire. So if he takes me out or he doesn't take me out, he's still God. So I'll worship God and I'll tell him, you are still God. God is not measured by what he does for you or for me. But he's measured by what he did for the cross of God. Amen. I'm just wanting to push us back to God. Do not stay in this dark situation. Consider the words of Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are. And how so to believe what the prophets have said. Jesus spoke to them. You are failing to understand seven things here. And because of that, he says, you are foolish. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be in the wrong space when we should just go back to God. Watch this. They isolated their experience from the bigger picture. The bigger picture was their redemption. But they were sitting on the death. They had taken the general common viewpoints, worldviews that are out there. And they were sitting on those. And Jesus said, no. You just needed to stay in my way. Peter said, let's go back to God's way. In this hour more than anything, we need God. We don't need the church, we need God. Let me tell you, if we are not careful about church can get in the way of God. Yeah. Because we are so changed, we forget Christ. We need God. He taught scripture. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained scripture. Scripture is what we need. Friends, what we need now is scripture. Amen. May you be engrossed in scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody was talking, saying, you know what? Guys, we're going to put a statement in the paper. People need to know the truth. What truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because the challenge with the world, even if when you say what you say, they are justifying themselves. What would they say? The world would never believe anyone. Don't push yourself trying to respond to people on Facebook and everything. The truth is, you stay in the Word of God. Amen. Jesus said, taught them scripture. Please note what was said in all the scriptures. That's what he told them. In all the scriptures. Not in some of the scriptures. In all the scriptures. That's what he wanted. Praise the Lord. Let's be fair to these guys. I'm going to start winding up. The Bible says they were kept from the whole rising. In the whole chapter, that's one of the most passive statements. As they walked with them, as he walked with them, as he talked with them, the Bible says in verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. What kept these people from recognizing Jesus Christ? When he joined them, they did not realize that they were walking with Jesus Christ. This is not the only instance that this happened. It also happened in two other post-resurrection scenarios, where the Bible says in John 20:14, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And in John 21 verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So in the post-resurrection state, three occasions Jesus appears and people fail to realize who he was. Remember when he went to Thomas, he said, put your hands in. So it means that his wounds were still there. He was somehow still recognizable. But they did not recognize him. What happens is when you are gone too much into your sorrow, you may fail to recognize God. When you go too much into your despondency, into your disappointment, into your discouragement, it's easy to miss God. There is no situation that when you go through where God is missing. They fail to recognize preoccupied by their sorrow and their loss. But he was there with them. The divine was obscured by divinity, by humanity. But he told him, but sometimes when we are so engrossed in our feelings, in our pity, in our feeling sorry for ourselves, we miss God. May we seek God. May we seek the experience God. We know there's something that has happened around us. But may we not dwell on that which happened around us. May we go into the Word of God so that we fail to realize we don't want to fail to realize the goodness of God. For God is good even when bad things happen.
Amen. I'm doing a series at All Born Again Church. It is called Why Am I Missing? Last year I did a series from the book of Psalms, which is called When God Fails to Live Up to Your Being. And God has not performed according to your beliefs. Where will we begin to realize that God is God, but humanity obscures God because we are preoccupied by other things. Abraham Peter said, when we look unto Jesus and say, Jesus, I'll stay with you.
Amen.
I want you to notice something about you in the way. Those are saving us for me. How do they recognize? Follow me, please. This is going to be helpful as we go back to Jesus. The Bible says, in the breaking of bread. After they walk with Jesus, complain about him dying. And not redeeming the Israelites. The Bible says in Luke 24, right at the end, they recognized him in the breaking of bread. There must have been something special about breaking bread that helped these people who were discouraged to recognize Jesus. In other words, it was a way of them coming back to understanding who he was. This morning, Church of God, as we break bread, may we realize who he is in the breaking of bread. We will not judge Jesus because of the events that took place among us. We will judge him because he broke his body and shed his blood for our redemption. So in the breaking of bread, when he was beginning to reenact the multiplication of the bread when they were hungry. When he was beginning to relive the Last Supper, they realized this person who has been with us all along is the Jesus who said, take it. This is my body. That is for you. He reminded them, I have never left you. He reminded them that I have never been away from you. Because his grace is sufficient. So if God did not hold back his son by giving him for our redemption, we need that together with him give us all good things, including the strength that we need. They realize it in the breaking of bread. So this morning, our confession is simple. We'll stay with Jesus. We'll stay right there where he is.
get quiet.
Amen.
The next difficult one. Para Jesus. Para Jesus, Papa.
Jesus.
come.